Hey everyone, I'm Madonna. This is David. And today, I was listening to Tony Robbins in an interview from a couple of months ago, and he was talking about anxiety and depression and how a lot of people are missing out on living their best lives because they're worried about things that they have no control over. So his example was, if indeed there's going to be a nuclear weapon used, then is there any point worrying about that? Because for a start, A, nothing you can do about it. B, if it happens, we're probably all gone. So, therefore, do you spend any energy worrying about a nuclear weapon when you are not in a position to do anything about it? And, one of the statistics I heard once is that 97% of things we're worried about never eventuate. So we spend all of this brain energy, on things that we have no control over.
Well,
And a lot of that's about unresolved. And like we've talked about, if you actually do get over something, that actually strengthens your resilience. So every time you have a challenge and you get through it and you continue improving, you're actually increasing your resilience and your brain neurons to the problem-solving parts of the brain, which I think is really cool.
Right. Well, there's something interesting about both anxiety and depression
Yeah.
that when you talk to people, how logical they are.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, like,
So they think they're logical?
oh, they're like, yeah, so people with depression, when they describe their symptoms and the way they're thinking, when you listen to them, what they're saying is actually true. And a bit, although it is too negative, but they're very logical about it,
Yeah.
right? And they can explain in detail like what the problem is, what the causes are, but they're still locked in that state,
Right.
right? And anxiety can be a little bit similar. Because depression is negative thoughts, really. It's like negative thinking. It's slow, negative thoughts about yourself or others, and you get in this state. But when you talk to people, they're very logical,
Right.
right? And same with anxiety, they can be very logical. But then when, but ones, and generally depression's geared towards the past in the psychology literature, and anxiety is concerned about the future. And so talking about a nuclear bomb. So I was talking to someone the other day, and they had a type of hypochondria where they'd go into panic if they had a symptom and they thought they were going to die. And they found that symptom connected with dying.
Right.
And they did it regularly.
Right.
And
So obviously, you don't
so when I,
want to create a self-fulfilling prophecy.
no, well, it's also the young people of our time.
Yeah.
This person's 18. And so they were drawing these conclusions, and they like had this, like, what was one thing? I think they were going swimming at the Sunshine Coast, and there were rumors that there was some thing in the water, very low risk. And so brain-eating amoebas, I think. And so
Sorry,
it,
shouldn't laugh. I
I
just thought
know,
of Mrs.
so this
Doubtfire.
guy went into this terror about this thing. And so, and it wasn't only that, it was other things. Anything that they'd link, they'd go, I'm going to die. But when I talk to them about it, I go, well, what's the problem with dying? Like, it's like, so if you died now, what would be the problem? And it's like, and do you know what they said? I don't have my spiritual life together.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool. That's actually a cool thing to think at 18 years
This
old.
is what the cool thing was. They go, I haven't resolved this thing. And I go, well, I go, maybe you should make that a priority now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when people think they're going to die, it can bring them to a really good place where they actually start to seek some long-term solutions to problems because it brings them up close. When a lot of
Whereas what,
people, we live in an agnostic society,
yeah.
pretty much, where there's few people with real faith these days compared to what it used to be. And most people are sitting on the fence, and justifiably so because of some of the,
Shenanigans.
well, yeah, some of the cult-like behaviors of religion.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but still, it makes people sit on the fence, which isn't comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, because when you're agnostic about anything, you're kind of not using your agency.
Yes,
Okay,
absolutely.
so anxiety can restrict you from your agency in so many ways. So it's stopping you from doing something, but so it's like you're better off like committing to something. And but also anxiety takes a time, you know, like with anything, it takes some time to work it out because you'll have to, because what are the causes? And why is someone anxious, you know?
Well, you know, with a brain-eating amoeba, for example, I'd be teaching them about their immune system. If you're swimming in the ocean, you have millions of toll-like receptors on your skin that are designed to protect you from stuff from the outside world.
Well,
If you
lucky
breathe
for
them
you,
in,
I
that's
have
what
a.
hydrochloric acid is for. You know, we've got all these mechanisms, which is why injecting stuff directly into the bloodstream is so silly, because it bypasses all of your natural immune stuff, all of it.
Right, except the problem here is that there's the brain-eating amoeba isn't going to eat him. So the
Yeah,
nature of
well, probably
depression
it
is.
would be very unusual. I'd like to see the statistics on
Right, but the
that.
nature of depression is negative thoughts and negative communication, and the nature of anxiety is paranoid thoughts and paranoid. So it's like you don't want to. So they're convinced of the paranoid type thinking, but it's not
Well,
based.
I've got a friend, and I've got to say, she does have a pretty, you know, she's had some, let's just say she's had some pretty bad luck in her life. And so it's sort of been the joke for the last 25 years we've known each other. How many Chinamen did I kill in my last life?
Right.
You know, because it just seems to be one thing after another, which is very, very interesting to me. But, you know, on the other hand,
Well,
you know,
karma is one way of looking at it.
karma is one way of looking at it.
Another way of looking at it is that, like from a family therapy perspective, like system therapy, often people who have difficulties in their childhood, she had a lot of
Oh
difficulties
yeah,
and stuff.
one. She's an ACE score of 10.
Okay, so ACE means adverse childhood experience. There's a test you can do, ACE test. And if you have a high number in that, there's two likelihoods. One, that you'll be like the person who did it to you. You'll be aggressive like them or manipulative or whatever the often family pattern coming down is. But the other sad thing is that if you've been abused or manipulated, you might be abused and manipulated as that pattern. Like the victimhood is a pattern just as much as the abuser. Do you know what I mean? So they both, and so people who are vulnerable, like you'll see in generational patterns, some people have, like I was talking to some people the other day, and this guy's sister had been raped, his mother had been raped, and grandmother, right? And these, and so it's like, and you look at that pattern, you go, well, there's a pattern of vulnerability in that. In that thing, and these people were, and then this guy who's telling me about this, his dad committed suicide, and so these generational patterns come through very strong, and then now he's in the generation wanting to stop that with his wife, and you know they've got little kids, and but when you talk about people's background, there's vulnerabilities that go back through a generation. But also abusive behavior that carries on through generations, and both are bad. And you know, we want to get to more of a, because the relationships aren't interdependent, like they're too close. Like if someone's getting that close over your boundary, they're doing horrible things. Or if we get over other people's boundaries doing horrible things, both aren't interdependent. They're creating abuse and dependencies, you know, like codependencies, they call it.
I will actually share the ACE study since, you know, I know we've mentioned it a few times. So I'll sort of share that. Oh, that's not working. Stop that.
Well, also with the ACE study, there's been a lot of updates
Yeah,
since.
so this one's 2020. So it's, did you feel that you didn't have enough to eat, had to wear dirty clothes, or had no one to protect or take care of you? Did you lose a parent through divorce, abandonment, death, or other reason? Did you live with anyone who was depressed, mentally ill, or attempted suicide? Did you live with anyone who had a problem with drinking or using drugs, including prescription drugs? Did your parents or adults in your home ever hit, punch, beat, or threaten or harm each other? Did you live with anyone who went to jail or prison? Did a parent or adult in your home ever swear at you, insult you, or put you down? Did a parent or adult in your home ever hit, beat, kick, or physically hurt you or any in any way? Did you feel that no one in your family loved you or thought you were special? Did you experience unwanted sex, such as fondling or oral, anal, vaginal intercourse or penetration? So you count that up out of 10.
And they're before they're things that have happened before the age of 18. So
Yeah.
that's not mentioning that, but generally it's like these things happened before you're 18 while you're still not an adult.
Yeah, so the higher the ACE score, the more people need to sort stuff out.
There'll be high ACE scores can mean, so if they say if you're over a four ACE score, you've got a likelihood of being someone who might do something similar, what happened to you to others.
Wow.
But it also means you're likely to have that repeated in your life.
Yeah.
So, you'll have the same things that happened, they'll keep happening to you. And
Yeah.
you see that the people who got abuse in their childhood often get abused in the or and controlled, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the ACE, anyway, so it's
Yeah,
sort
there's
of,
another thing that leaves off. That's all home stuff.
yeah.
But a lot of stuff happens in school.
Oh, yeah,
Right, so a
absolutely.
lot of people I see, they were bullied at school and they're still recovering from that. And some are 60, some are 50, some are 30. But it's that school stuff and the ACE, because if that stuff happens at school too, it's like, and a lot of people are more affected about what happened at school because at least at home, even though it wasn't perfect, they kind of, yeah, mum and dad were a bit wrong, but they did actually love us. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel like that. But the people at school who are the other people there and the teachers, they're often, sometimes they're not nice at all.
Yeah.
There's a small percentage of aggressive people everywhere, and some kids get bullied
And one of
by
the
the
little.
teachers, sometimes by the teachers, because parents do it, but you're with them all the time at night time. And at school, it's during the day, and you'd think that, well, you should be able to hold it together for 8 hours.
Yeah. But also, when
And you
it's
get
happening at
paid a lot of
school,
dough.
you've got 25 other people who aren't standing up for you. You know,
Right.
so it's almost more traumatic if you're in a classroom where
Yeah,
you're
that's
being
right.
picked on. You've got a huge cohort of your your little
Yeah.
friends who aren't standing up for
And so
you.
that's similarly
And of
that.
course they wouldn't. How could they at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years
No,
old?
but it's like when parents do that, the kids are having a sleepover and the parent is really mean to the kid in front of their friends.
Yeah.
That's a problem, the same as the school thing.
Right.
Because
Yeah.
it's like, because when they get bullied, there's a whole bunch of kids standing around laughing
Yeah.
at the person calling them whatever they're calling them, fat
Yeah.
or what else do people get picked on for?
Grandma bullfrog. Anyway, stuff like that.
I
So,
knew
yeah.
I knew one kid, and he was like hanging out with the more ethnic kids,
Yeah.
little white kid, and he's hanging out with them, and the other white kids were abusing him, calling him a traitor, going, "Don't you know they're invading the country?"
Really?
Yeah, this is what they're saying.
Oh
And they
my
were
gosh.
accusing him of being gay.
Australia.
Yeah, here in Brisbane.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, right? But this
I.
is like, welcome. Welcome to the world that we don't hear about. And when you got a job where you listen, it's amazing what you hear.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, I can't believe that's happening. And it's like, well, it's not that uncommon.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I've been watching more the medical stuff over the last, 30 years. So
Right, but this kid
it's.
was called fat. They were called gay, everything. They just
Yeah.
like planted on this kid, and all the other kids, when you hear this, all the other kids are standing around.
Yeah.
No one's going, oh, don't say that.
Yeah. Now it's pretty hard to do that. It's pretty hard to do that. It's sort of like I'm at my spot in my life where I wouldn't put up with it. But I don't know whether I would have had the guts to have said anything as a
No,
kid.
nobody's got the guts.
You know, I didn't have that resilience or strength or confidence or boundary or anything.
And it's also a bit of the nature. So
And it's part of the schooling system, isn't it?
sometime I'll talk to my wife, dear man,
Yeah.
and I'll say, oh, this and this and this, and she goes, she's a primary school teacher. She'll go, oh, but that's kind of the way they are a bit.
Yeah.
So there's that side too. It's like, they're learning to socialize.
It's a whole pecking order, which is very
With
natural.
some kids, like kids with often with things like ADHD, they'll get picked on by everyone. They'll see the teachers correcting them 20
And
times.
autism and OCD and ADD and anything,
And even
the
being fat,
spicy.
even being overweight at
Yeah,
school,
yeah.
and it's like this thing happens, It's like no, but particularly with the spectrum problems like
Yeah, the
ADHD,
neuro
autism.
spicy kids.
they tend to be corrected 20 times more than the other kids statistically. So they'll get brought to attention 20 times more. So when the other kids see that kid being corrected a lot, maybe in the playground they'll correct them a lot. You know, because that's
Learned
that
behavior.
it's low behavior, and especially if they see there's a meaner teacher there, because there are some there. Most teachers, like everyone, they're really good, but there's a small percentage of mean people everywhere. And so if that kid's in this class, the students will copy the teacher.
I used to tell my kid,
And
and I've said
it's the
this
good
too.
kids too. It's the fit kids. Like generally fit kids or bullying less fit kids. And it's like a, because when you look at the studies, you'll find stronger people will abuse weaker people. Like, and in kids, they haven't learnt the skills of the adults.
Now we've all got to build resilience, be able to stand up for ourselves, build up our boundaries. Awesome. That's great. Good one. Nice one,
Let's
David.
go resilient.
Excellent. Resilience rocks. Have a good one, everyone. Bye. About 6 minutes.
Oh, good.